Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. So many sound bites, so little time. We got to get to them lickety split. So, Jimmy, just cue up all of the sound bites that we have of progressive woke liberals condemning Hillary Clinton, Don Lemon, and James Tallarico for quoting the Bible as politicians. Go ahead, start playing those.
I'm done.
Huh? I thought you'd have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Because you see, I thought if they were going to be consistent for criticizing conservative politicians for quoting the Bible, certainly they would do that with Hillary Clinton. You don't have one?
No, unfortunately, no.
I'm so confused. What in the world is happening here? Don't know if you saw the article in The Atlantic. It was wordy and redundant and repetitive and on and on and on it went, saying the same thing over and over again. Frio, we get the point already. Don't know if you saw it, but it was loaded with Bible. In fact, it started out with Hillary Clinton trying to quote scripture. This was a critique on what apparently is a movement. I have to confess, I'm not aware of this movement, but apparently there are conservatives, whether they identify as Christian nationalists or whether they identify as just conservative politically, they are apparently, according to Hillary, saying that empathy is a bad thing. So Hillary tries using the Bible to explain why they're wrong. And I have no interest, obviously, because I didn't research or study it, in the debate about empathy. My interest is in Hillary Clinton. Did I just say that sentence? I never thought that I would, wow, what context will do to you. Let's take a look at what Hillary Clinton said biblically. That's my interest. Here's what she wrote. This is the opening paragraph. It's titled, MAGA's War on Empathy. Again, not getting into that because apparently that's a thing. Here's what she wrote. When I first saw the video of the killing of Alex Pretty, an ICU nurse at the Minneapolis VA hospital, I immediately, Jimmy, the word immediately, does it still mean immediately?
It still means immediately.
That seems a little harsh. Maybe that word means something that we didn't think it actually meant. Maybe it means in like 10 years.
Oh, maybe, maybe.
Well, I think we should talk about it, don't you? I immediately thought of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Very few parables get mangled more than the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is just another slice on the parable and Jesus' intention of telling it. She wrote, federal agents shot Pretty after he tried to help a woman they had thrown to the ground and pepper sprayed. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves and help those in need. Well, I agree with that as individuals. Then she said, quote, do this and you will live, quoting Luke chapter 10, but not in Donald Trump's America. Well, Hillary, I know as a Methodist, you probably don't study your Bible in great detail, but Jesus wasn't talking about physical life there. It was about eternal life because he was asked the question. That's the context, not that that matters these days, the context of the parable about eternal life, not physical life. Context, context, context. this is just going to bring a great amount of shame on my head. I'm flipping through I think I was at the gym. And a thing popped up. It was Mike Huckabee talking to James Burton, who was the lead guitarist for Elvis Presley. Yeah, I clicked the link, and it's not because I'm looking forward to February 20th when the brand new Elvis concert movie called Epic comes out. Not that I've already got tickets for that with the entire family or anything. I just, for some reason, was intrigued. Now, listen to what Mike Huckabee said. Quote, and this is pretty close paraphrase in talking about Elvis. He said, the death of Elvis was like the death of JFK or the space shuttle. Okay, stop right there. That's quite a statement, don't you think? Comparing the death of a singer to a president, comparing the death, which was kind of self-inflicted by the king of rock and roll, man, versus some people that were trying to help us scientifically to explore space. I don't think the deaths are comparable at all. And yet Mike Huckabee said it. Oh, wait, did I stop there? He then said, the death of Elvis, like the death of JFK or the Challenger, in that you remember where you were when it happened. Oh, I see. You mean the context actually colored the meaning of the former statement? Exactly. Hillary, you have to read the entire context. You have to read the entire chapter. You have to read the entire book. Without doing that, oh, it just, well, you get what you just got from The Atlantic. She continued, how can a person of conscience justify the lack of compassion and empathy for the victims in Minnesota and for the families torn apart or hiding in fear, for the children separated from their parents or afraid to go to school? Now, what do you do with a sentence like that? Do we not care? Do our hearts not hurt for little children swept up in this effort to bring illegal people to justice? And we should say, well, of course it does. And yet we have to ask ourselves the question, who's responsible for those children and what happens to them? Well, once again, I'm not shocked, but Hillary has a very low view of justice. She has also a very low view of family. What dads do have consequences on their children. If mom and dad broke the law to be here, and now the kids are being affected by that, it's not the government. If the government is doing their job, if they are doing it justly, then we don't look at the government and say, how dare you? We should be looking at the parents to say, what were you thinking? Why didn't you do this the right way? Didn't you know that your children could be affected by this? But she continues, sort of trying to quote the Bible, the people of Minnesota have responded with an approach you could call neighborism, a commitment to protecting the people around you, no matter who they are or where they come from. To my ears, that's as Christian a value as it gets, except for the fact that you're failing to remember Romans 13. You're forgetting the concept of justice. You're forgetting that the ministers assigned by God bear the sword for the carrying out of justice to make sure that we can live safely, and they punish evildoers. So when she writes, the people of Minnesota have responded in neighborism, no, actually, they're acting as rebels against the government that God has installed to do exactly what it is that they are doing, and that is dealing with lawbreakers. Now, Hillary can certainly argue she doesn't like the way that it's being done. Okay, we can have that conversation, but her premise and her foundational way of thinking is not biblical because it forgets who's responsible and it forgets who has the authority to do what. Defending a neighbor? Of course we would do that. And by the way, isn't it interesting? I see. So acting violently toward law officers, that's neighborism. What's next, Hillary? Breaking into the Capitol on January 6th is just a protester. Why isn't January 6th considered a protest, but the city's church is considered a protest? Sorry, I got off track just for a moment. She goes on then to critique Christian influencers. Their twisted campaign validates Trump's personal immorality and his administration's cruelty. It marginalizes mainstream religious leaders who espouse traditional values. That's just really rich, isn't it? Substitute for mainstream liberal. It marginalizes liberal religious leaders who espouse traditional values. Traditional values that go back about 6 years. it just boggles my mind. Because progressives have had a tidal wave of victories, really courtesy of, well, probably starting with Barack Obama, but really with Joe Biden a ton. They think that's traditional. That's the tradition. How dare you try to contradict traditional Christian values that were never espoused by the majority up until about 2008. This reckoning of history and this dealing with the Bible is the only verse I can think of is Romans 1. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love.
Then came the notes.
Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness.
Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation?
Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe?
We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. the Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Using the Bible to be liberal. This is Wretched Radio. I'm Hillary Clinton writing a 6,000-word article for The Atlantic using the Bible to promote her progressivism. And we're just waiting for the line to queue up of all the liberal critics condemning her for using the Bible to inform her political positions. How, Jimmy, you got any of those clips yet?
Still looking.
All righty. You stay on that case. Maybe try AI. They got everything there. But they won't find any clips because it's okay when a liberal does it, but not when a conservative does it. Let me take you back to the article from The Atlantic. The day after taking the oath of office, Trump, it's kind of disrespectful. By the way, she does plenty of name calling in here. She calls Ally Beth Stuckey names. She calls Trump Nero, Caligula. It's like, okay, but you're the nice one, I guess. He attended a prayer service at the National Cathedral. You remember it, the Episcopal Bishop, Marianne Edgar Buddy, directed part of her sermon at the new president. Quote, "In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now." It was an honest plea suffused with the kind of love and generosity toward neighbors and strangers that Jesus taught. Jesus did teach that to individuals. That was not a command to the government, whose job it is to determine who comes in and who comes out for the safety of those citizens. This is a common pattern in using the Bible. We take an admonition that is indisputable toward the individual and we say, that's the way the government is supposed to act. No, it's not. We'll hear James Tallarico. This is I think he's like 32 years old. I think he's already in state rep in Austin, Texas, maybe Houston, Texas, and running for higher office. And he is going to a liberal Presbyterian seminary, and he's using the Bible like nobody's business to promote progressivism. And we've got to start getting used to their tactics, because I'll tell you, Hillary's pretty lame, but this Tallarico fellow, Don Lemon, using John 8, 31 and 32. The truth will set you free, regarding being released from prison. Context, Don, that was not about being released from prison. That really wasn't even about having freedom in society. If you continue in my word, context, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. From what? Prison? No. Bondage? No. It'll set you free to live. It'll set you free to have everlasting life. That's the liberty that Jesus was referring to. Not prison, Don. Back to Hillary. She said it was an honest plea from the Episcopalian bishop, suffused with the kind of love and generosity toward neighbors and strangers that Jesus taught. It was always personal. Jesus didn't aim his critiques at the government. He aimed them at personal responsibility. That is what makes it compassionate. We do it with love. We do it because we care about people, not because the government is taking our money and redistributing it. She writes, quote, "The right-wing Christian podcaster Ally Beth Stuckey called the sermon toxic empathy that's in complete opposition to God's word in support of the most satanic, destructive ideas ever conjured up." Nice work, Ally Beth. She writes, Hillary writes, "This is not what I was taught in Sunday school. No, not what my reading of the Bible teaches me. And not what I believe Jesus preached in his short time on earth." Well, that's because you don't have a proper hermeneutic, Hillary. I won't doubt that you went to Sunday school or that you read your Bible. You just don't know how to. I believe that Christians like me, she said, and people of faith more generally have a responsibility to stand up to the extremists who use religion to divide our society and undermine our democracy. Isn't that trope done? Isn't that finished? Hasn't it expired past its shelf life? And then she calls the people on January 6th insurrectionists. Excuse me. Some of them were journalists, so it's okay. They can go in there and do whatever they want to do. It's just a protest. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. And all of God's people said, oh, thank you. This ain't going to make you a whole lot happier. James Tallarico running for U.S. Senate, going to a Presbyterian seminary. He's from Texas. What's going on, Texas? He can quote the Bible if it's against conservatism.
What would Jesus do if he visited the United States Senate?
Hey, wait a second. He's in a church. How could he be talking as a politician in church? I'm sure the ACLU is all over this. All right, here's the question that James Tallarico, this guy, I'm telling you, keep an eye on this guy. He could be the new leader for how to twist and mangle the Bible to support liberal policies. This guy's really, well, sneaky.
What would Jesus do if he visited the United States Senate? I think he would say, depart from me.
Did he just say that everybody is going to hell who's in the Senate? Yes, he actually did. Now, does he know that?
For I was hungry and you cut my food assistance.
Okay, here we go. The directive was given to individuals, not to governments. Here we go again.
I was sick and you kicked me off Medicaid.
Again.
I was a stranger and you deported me and my family.
Okay, again, this is just, I have a bad feeling though, this stuff is going to be catching on and we need to be prepared to respond to it. Individual commands for compassion are different than the mandate given to government. The government's mandate, it really doesn't talk about welfare programs, education. It doesn't even talk about shovel-ready jobs. It talks about punishing evildoers, lawbreakers, and protecting those who live righteously. That's it. And they're confusing their categories.
And then I think he would flip over those fancy desks and demand that we take care of all our neighbors, especially the least of these.
Is that what Jesus was doing? So going into Congress, that's one realm of authority, versus going into the court, not into the temple, but going into the court, which he owned, to tip over the tables of people who are taking advantage of the poor by bilking them with their inflated prices so they could participate in their religious ceremonies. A little different. Why? Because it's a different realm. I wonder, too, if he's going to keep one of those fancy desks if he wins. And the kid probably will at some point.
Matthew 25 tells us exactly how we will be judged and how we will be saved.
Yeah.
By feeding the hungry.
No, that is not how we will be saved. That's works. My Presbyterian friend, you should know that. Will we be judged for our faith, meaning the validity of our faith as it was revealed in the works of charity? Yes, but that's not how we're saved. We're saved by grace alone, not our works. He's not quite clear in his delineation of the two here.
By healing the sick, by welcoming the stranger, by visiting the prisoner.
Now again, that's to the individual, not to the government. Do you hear the muddling? That's the tactic that is being used here. Furthermore, to be clear, and as a Presbyterian, I hope he's just being a little muddy with his words, although this guy's really well rehearsed. That's not how we're saved. We're not saved because we do stuff. We do stuff because we're saved.
Nothing about going to church, nothing about reading the Bible, nothing about being a Christian. Just helping others. Just loving.
There's progressive liberalism using the Bible, which is now okay by liberals because, well, it affirms their side. Get ready for more of this. I think it's a trend. And I think this might actually be a good sign. It could be an indication that they're kind of like, well, now what are we going to... Let's try religion, because our arguments are taking a beating in the public square. I do suspect that we should be prepared to hearing more of this. Probably not from Hillary. She's not that inclined to talk about God much. But this fellow from Texas, get ready for one, James Tallarico. He's got it down. The pattern that he has been practiced. He's got it slickly lined up so that it sounds compelling, but it is up to you and to me to point out his hermeneutic and that he's forgetting who the original audience was and that these commands were given to individuals and not to governments. This is Wretched Radio.